You know that feeling when a song comes on and it's so good that it feels like you're frozen in time? Well, that's what my podcast In My Tracks is all about. The songs that stopped me in my tracks. I'm your host, Jada Burt, and I have revealing conversations with musicians about their creative challenges, mental health struggles, and the economic realities they're facing as independent artists today. And you discover your new favorite songs. Tune into In My Tracks everywhere you listen to podcasts.
What is up, y'all? This is Scarlett, aka Scardi B, aka your resident emo historian. And join me as I unpack the history of Fall Out Boy and hip hop. Look, y'all, there is a lot to cover in this limited run podcast. So strap on in, cause sugar, we're going in. What is up, y'all? It is your girl Scardi B, and holy fucking shit, if you read the title to this episode, you already know I am shitting, crying, throwing up, sliding down a wall. I am here with Daisy Grenade. You know them, you love them. We're gonna get to talk to them. Hello, Daisy Grenade, fresh from Sad Summer just a few weeks ago, preparing for When We Were Young, coming right up. If you're listening to this the day it drops, it's this weekend. I hope to see you there. But how are y'all doing? It's so amazing to have you both on the show.
Hell yeah, we're good. We're so happy to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. No, it feels like the ultimate kiki. I'm really appreciative so far because I was like, I'm nervous, but we've got this. No, we're good. We're good.
I'm literally so weird. Don't be nervous.
Oh, hi. Same. raised on Fall Out Boy. So weird.
I'm taking this meeting from the lactation room at my part-time job. So.
Oh, hot. Always working. Always working.
She's always
gonna come
working.
In titty out and just be very confused. That's why it happens. It happens. That's why the overalls just have like one unsnapped, just to be like, oh my God, I was just like, you know, I was just
up. It is like low key giving like breastfeeding mother. Like,
yes. Okay, well, you're not doing that. And the room is not in use right now. I'm not taking this away from anybody that needs it. I promise.
Period. We're listening to the knocks. We're being mindful.
We're listening for the knocks. It's very easy. Mindful.
Yes. When this comes out, I would have already landed in Vegas for the week of shenanigans, which I'm very much looking forward to. Have y'all planned like the fits, the set list? Like y'all are both very intentional artists. Like what's the story to tell the weekend of When We Were Young?
I won't say what we're wearing yet, but I will say that our fits were custom made.
I knew it. I was like, I have to ask.
Yeah, I love that you care about the fits. Our fits were custom by a very young, cool designer. So that's sick. Set list is done.
Question mark. No, it's done 10 minutes before on stage for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, we're really excited. It's going to be a blast.
That's so amazing. Well, I mean, for the people who don't know you, can you just introduce yourselves real quick and just let us know a little bit about your role and part in the band?
Hello. I'm Danny, and I am one half of Daisy Grenade. And I'm here with my BP, my business partner.
And I'm Keaton. I'm her VP, and I'm the other half of Daisy Grenade.
I love. And y'all also have a live band that you work with. How was it meeting them and getting that chemistry together to bring to life this project that is Daisy Grenade?
The boys in the band are incredibly integral.
Boys with a Z.
The boys in the band are so integral to this project. We've had our drummer with us since the very first live gig that we've ever done. And our bassist since one of the earliest gigs we've ever done.
Wow.
And our guitarist right now is new, but we've had a lot of wonderful people in the band. But those are our boys. We met through mutual music friends in New York City. Different projects that everybody worked on kind of came together. And it just clicked. And we're all best friends and we are family.
I was going to say, it's cool to... even when we've had, you know, like changes, because like I said, like touring is crazy and hard and sometimes it's just not what certain people want to be doing in that moment. And it's been really cool to have the kind of changes come in and out and still just be like really sick and know that there are people that are ready to help and step in if need be. And so you might be seeing new faces.
It's incredibly important. Yeah, and I think of it a lot as y'all have theater backgrounds in ensemble, right? Where it's like y'all are all on this mission and you have to trust the casting and you have to trust that people will fill that role. And I mean, we'll talk more about
I
your
love
theater
that.
background. You know, okay,
I
girl,
love
I
that.
might have auditioned for Rent once or twice or three times, but it's fine. It's
Wait a
fine.
second. We were literally the other day, we were on set shooting a music video
Oh, an
and we
MV,
were
an
an
MV,
official
a
MV,
visual.
an MV. And we were just seeing how much of Rent we could get through. I just like we were just trying to we just were singing it.
We were saying it would be an amazing fundraiser to be like every minute that you get through is a dollar raise, like no rehearsal, like just me and Danny trying to get through as much of Rent as we possibly can. And the longer it goes, the more
I
money
love that so much because, but as soon as I get to like, you know, today for you, tomorrow for me, I'm like in hysterics. I think that's like one of the best like songs
make.
forever and ever. And obviously, A Thousand Suitcases, I'm not covering you. Santa Fe, not
Okay, so
well.
we're
I'm
bringing
not.
you in for the
So bring
fundraiser.
me in. So bring
Oh,
me
yeah, you're
in. And I'm
coming.
going to get it started. My favorite musical is Little Shop of Horrors. Changed my life.
Gorgeous. Wait, that was one
Changed.
of my VHSs that I watched like on loop, on loop, on loop as a kid. Like it was
It
the only thing I had in
snapped.
the VCR.
It snapped. Nobody will ever be
Absolutely.
Rick Moranis. I will never
No,
be
they
Ellen
will not.
Green. Like,
No. And
I.
that's okay because they are them.
Because they are them. They're he, she. Like, they're them. But yes,
And
that's
the
so.
They are them.
Very,
I'm
very
so dead.
important. So maybe next time I'm in New York and we all catch. Have you all watched the Broadway, John?
I haven't seen
It's
it.
great.
I have not seen it off Broadway. Have you?
So fun, yes, it is.
I've done it twice. I'm ready for my
Yeah.
three-peat.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, we're good.
Okay, come on.
So, but because of all this, you're no stranger to crowds. You're no strangers to finding your team to work with. What was it like going from theater to the music industry? I mean, I feel like there's a lot more similarities than not, you know, with the performance, the drama, you know, the rehearsals. How did that prepare you for where you're at with Daisy Grenade today?
I think it obviously like it's not so like you said it's not so different. Obviously like the biggest difference being that you're not playing a character, so it's like you. I mean, that could be up for debate, I suppose. But
Right.
I think for me, I think for Dan to stop me if I'm speaking for you, but I think for me there's like a real freedom in being able to do your own stuff and say your own words, and I think. Music as an industry, I think, values individuality maybe a little bit more than theater does, because I think theater is a lot of I don't know, it's you're all constantly trying to fit into something, which can be really amazing and can feel really great. But for me at least, like towards the end of my time with theater, I just started to feel really exhausting to have to you can go behind me. My boyfriend is in this hotel room with me. I'm sorry. He's trying to get
Oh
a
my
pair
God,
of
hi
pants.
BF, come
He's
through,
crawling under the
grab a
desk right now.
mic.
I'm like, babe, it's okay. sorry. But yeah, I think towards the end, it just kind of got a little bit exhausting to me. Trying to fit my voice into things that didn't feel natural to me, or just constantly sort of feeling like I wasn't doing enough or doing the right thing. So I love being able to like express myself, but like express
So
myself
emo.
and in a way that feels natural, and being able to move with that and like grow with that and change with it instead of feeling like I'm like stuck doing one thing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we both found a lot of ease with the performance aspect of it. But there was still like, especially from our first gig till now, I'll sometimes go back and watch videos and I'm like, oh, we've both like found what our role is in performing as Daisy Grenade. Not that we're playing characters, but there is a difference between what we do on stage and then like what I do in real life and stuff like that. And it has definitely gotten a lot easier and a lot more comfortable. And like our stage banter has come a long way, and just like our ease on
It's a
stage has come a long
script.
way. Absolutely. But it's also not as, and I think this is what Keaton was kind of saying, it's not as like
Yeah.
confining in that I would sometimes get anxiety doing shows because I'm like, okay, what if I have to like throw up? What if I'm like about to shit my pants and I just have to like run off stage? But like now with Daisy Grenade, I'm like, if anything like that is happening, I can just lay down. on stage. I can sit down if I need to. I can run off stage and be like, I'll be right back right now. Like, there's a freedom in that, like, it's our show and I can do whatever the hell I want.
Absolutely.
And that eases the anxiety.
Yeah.
You're like, immediately talking about throwing up and shitting on stage because that's my biggest fear.
Oh, yeah. And it'll happen in every dream.
I almost threw up at, I did throw up after the show at, in Sacramento, because it was like 112 degrees out. So it was like 120 on the
That'll
pavement.
That'll do it.
And I like turned. My boyfriend tour manages us. And he was like standing on stage and, or like side stage. And I like turned and he was like, are you okay? And I was like,
no.
And he like moved a trash can. Everyone like moved trash cans to the side, and I like made it till the end of the show. But
love, because the show must go on at all times.
The show must go on.
I mean, I hear so much, you know. And I was thinking, and I took notes. I was like, there's so much of musical theater that goes into this production, right?
Totally.
Like blocking for stage and videos, even the storytelling, like what you're choosing to put on stage is so intentional from city to city. You know, it might have worked this time, and you're rehearsing a set, right? Where it's like, this worked in this city, maybe this will work different in another city, and then just like building off of that. Because I heard y'all's Philly show went off. I'm based in Philly, so I'm very thankful to like have had such an amazing,
yes,
like sad summer experience, even,
yes,
with the rain. Like it worked the fuck out.
I'm trying. Oh yes, it was raining.
It was indeed raining.
I'm trying to remember.
She was raining.
Oh, that was your birthday show, Keith.
It was my birthday show. I was ridiculously, yes, hungover at that show, but it still went off.
It's okay. That's what makes an amazing show. Like if you were like fully just like with it, like,
no, I know. I was like, that
you have to run off the nerves and adrenaline.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so fun. They, I don't know. They stopped the show in the middle of Guts to bring me a birthday cake. And that was so funny.
And the birthday cake said, we're cutting cult classics.
Yeah, because they had to cut a song to make it fit.
I love it. Please deliver more bad news to me on birthday cakes. And I think we would all be excited.
The birthday cake said happy 21st birthday. I'm 28. But I said happy 21st. And then there was a note on the cake that said we're cutting cult classic with a smiley face.
Love.
Very
funny. But a smiley face. That's as long as it's on a cake, it could really classic. Be like anything. We're getting happy birthday.
Oh, fireworks. Look at that.
Yay! Do I get the
flow?
We love.
Nope. Oh, let's go. Double thumbs up.
I love it. For our listeners, there's fireworks all over the place now because that's what we want in video calls.
Yes.
That's what we want is fireworks behind us when our computers can like barely handle us talking into it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we love. We have a couple of questions from the internet. I was able to grab from some listeners.
Hi.
Spaceless Beans asked, what are some songs from musicals you'd want to cover? I feel like we started with The Rent, but like something that isn't Rent.
Well, wait, can we have something that is Rent, but it's not what you think?
Okay, no, crazy.
Keith, what do we have to
do?
You
really want to do What You Own from Rent.
The people want Take Me or Leave Me, but I want to
give them
What You Own. Take Me or Leave Me a little too on the nose.
It's too on the nose.
But this,
yes. What You Own.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Okay, so we're waiting for the holiday extravaganza fundraiser.
Yes.
I will be executive producing, and we're going to get
there. Yeah, and we're going to do What You Own.
This is... If you were looking for a sign, here it is. And then from Forever Ashley wants to know, what song or musical would you want to do a collaboration with another Fueled by Ramen or Decadence band?
Ooh.
Like, what would that look like? Take Me or Leave Me with, you know, like Vienna.
Oh, like. Good. Very good. I would. Oh, dear God, I have to think about this.
I feel like me, Dan, and Carr could probably fuck something up.
Absolutely. But what? Like Candy Store?
Yeah, like maybe Heather's.
Heather's.
Of us.
That would actually be very, very
be
good.
Kind of
I had a lot of people excited to talk about all things musical theater. And I was like, I get it. Because it's like, once you're a musical theater kid, you're kind of always.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're never beating those allegations. Ever.
No, yeah. Never beating. I don't want to.
I don't want to.
I will do Suddenly Seymour at every karaoke I do.
It.
Like, I, like, yeah. Whether or not I'm with somebody, I'm doing both sides.
You do both
like,
parts, absolutely.
Exactly, with, like, my shirt tied up and then my glasses on, shirt tied up, like, glasses on.
Love it.
We'll
That's how we're going to do all of REM.
Yeah. Stops and all.
Wigs, yeah. Shorts, wigs, fishnets, wigs. I'm crying. Well, thank you for answering some of those questions. We have maybe a couple more throughout the interview, but many of the Shugs that listen to this show, that's what I call my fans. Let's make it stick, right? The Shugs.
I love it.
They know you. The Shugs. They know you. They adore you. They've fallen in love with you online and then finally on the road this past year when you opened for Fall Out Boy at select dates. You know, from clubs to amphitheaters is like quite the jump. But even with the theater background, like, how do y'all keep each other grounded and ready to take something like that on? Like, two very different types of performances.
The jump was definitely crazy. I was thinking about it this morning, actually. Perhaps I was preparing for this interview and I was thinking through possible things. And the jump was definitely crazy, but I think Keaton and I feel very strongly about no matter what the venue is, we're giving the same quality show. Doesn't matter how many people are out there, we're giving our best performance. And we have our little rituals that we do with the whole band before we go on stage. Keaton and I have our own ritual we do before going on stage. We definitely have to like grab each other by the shoulders every once in a while and just be like, we're gonna do this and it's gonna be fine, right? And then we check in throughout the performance. We'll just be like, in the middle of singing, we'll be like, you doing okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
It's just like a constant supporting each other. I just know that we're out there, there's five of us out there, nobody's gonna leave anybody hanging. Yeah. And that kind of eases a lot of the anxiety. It's that we feel very strongly about our cast.
Yeah, the cast is very important. And I think I asked that, but it's obvious that, you know, people see that and feel that, and why they're so attracted to this chemistry is, you know, this feeling of non-males supporting each other in real time and watching that chemistry in real time and watching that performance in real time. And, you know, you're no strangers to women looking out for women in general. I know that somebody on your team that now does the creative is named Hannah, and they were one of the first ones to look out for you and say, you know, you might not see this or hear this in yourself yet, but I do. What is that kind of experience been like in the industry in general with this cutting out of that women don't like each other, that there's not enough space, and how are we making
space
for them?
Like, we're really lucky in that like about 90% of our team is non-men. Yeah, which really, really rocks for many, many reasons. But a big one of those reasons just being like, we understand that we are always looking out for the best, and maybe that doesn't mean the best thing to do career-wise, but the best thing to do for us, mm-hmm. For like our mental health, our physical health, all of it, just like being really, really cautious of that all the time. And I feel like a huge thing that I've noticed is like, a lot of the women in the scene, I would say almost the women that I know in the scene, the non-men that I know in the scene, we're all friends with each other. And it's like a very like immediate connection that we have because we understand what each other goes through in this scene. And I feel like there have been moments of people trying to like pit us against each other on the internet. And I'm just like laughing to myself because I'm like, we're all friends. Like, we're texting right now about this. So I'm just like, it's just never going to happen. Like, if Dan and I have anything to do with it, like, we just, it's just never going to be a situation where we're fighting with each other or being in a place where we're like comparing ourselves to each other or whatever. Like, it should just always feel like there's room for all of us. And also like the only way we move up is by propelling each other. So that's been like, it's been really like heartwarming, honestly, and really endearing to like watch. I think,
gig is temporary, women yeah. is forever, you know.
Absolutely. And it's just like, why, I don't know, my personal take on it is being nice is so much nicer and easier.
It's also,
and it makes everybody happy and it makes everybody feel good.
It's also so funny because it's like, you know, women get this like rap, and I do think this is changing, obviously. I think we're all like a little bit past this like women are bitches to each other thing. Like, I don't think mm-hmm. that's like real. I'm like, the only problems I've ever had with anyone in this scene or in this industry is with men.
Clock that tea. Clock
I'm just
it.
Like, I've never had an issue with another girl. Like, I'm like, maybe y'all are actually the problem.
100%. And I want to give a big shout out to Anna and Evangelia of your team for being so supportive and so awesome to someone like me following up forever. But I did want to give them their shout out. They're probably like the last people, you know, to hear thank you.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. It was so hard to get the schedule.
I know. No. Our schedules are so fucked.
No, because you're hashtag booked, busy, and blessed. Okay, so we are never going to apologize for that. And it's obvious why you're busy. I mean, the success, and again, being in the crowd, seeing people react to maybe listening to y'all for the first time or seeing y'all live after listening to y'all. It's obvious that from the stage to also your music videos and your visuals are like, again, so... There is an obvious, not even a strategy, but an intention behind it. And into like the costumes that you guys made, you know, for like Hypocrite and like being able to give those tanks, you know, and like have fans be a part of it. I think that's so smart. And again, comes from just like being able to think of those things beyond yourself. Because as the artists that we are, no matter what the size, having your say in what's going helps you gain that little bit of control that totally. Sometimes you lose through like anything else. And I mean, even down to the choreography, I mean, go crazy, go. I loved like I just see it, and it's just so smart. And again, the way you're so hands-on with the shooting, I think it also is important not only for your voice to for you to have that control, but your visuals. And as non-males, like, how are we, excuse me, and how do we allow ourselves to be perceived? I think
yeah,
I'm getting so emotional. How we allow ourselves to be perceived is so difficult. It's so difficult, and hindsight's always 20/20. But I wanted to give you your kudos for that.
Thank you.
It means a lot. We've got a really wonderful team who have all of our best interests at heart and understand that if we all work together and keep lifting each other up, we're gonna do great things together. So all of our shoots go that way. All of our everything we do is
massive team
because of everybody on
massive
our team
effort, wow. Always. Yeah.
And trust.
Yeah.
I huge. Love it. Now, I want to talk about your latest cover of Nirvana's Polly. Before I do, to my shugs, uncomfortable with any mention of sexual assault, please feel free to skip these next couple of minutes, as the description of the song's context includes content you may not be in the headspace to hear or think about. So just giving y'all a heads up now, there is no judgment. Please skip ahead, and we'll be just as amazing to have you back into the conversation when you are ready. But just wanted to give a heads up to my lovely, lovely people. But getting started, you know, Polly by Nirvana, you know, the original one, and this one is a true story. It's a true story, a harrowing story of a young girl coming home from a concert, right? A place where we'll talk about later, and dying inside is this safe haven for people to express, and I'll get express, you know, their love for art and how they want to express themselves. And I'll link to information about this case and won't get too deep into it because it really is a horrendous case. But this song is told from the point of view of the person that you don't want to hear from, right? The monster, the captor. And tell me, and as terrible as like small, I'm terrible at small talk. So like, as an Aquarius, I really want to kick this off by being as real as fucking possible. And it's like, being a woman is difficult. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's scary. It's stunning. And I feel like your music and your take on this song sounds exactly what the experience feels like. And I wanted to hear about, you know, your process of selecting this song and presenting it the way that you did.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan and I are both obviously huge Nirvana fans. And I grew up in Seattle. So the band itself is obviously extremely personal to me. Not a hot take. I know everyone loves Nirvana.
Oh my God, breaking news.
Breaking news. Great, great band. But yeah, the choice to cover Polly was like extremely specific, I think. Dan and I thought about it, and I think if anyone has read any of like Kurt Cobain's journals, he was like a raging feminist. And I've always thought that his perspective on women, I don't know, and women and music and whatever has always been so interesting to me. And I think he was, not to speak for him or on him really, but I do think that he was very plagued by a lot of these issues, like extremely, extremely just emotionally torn up about the state of the world. And so he has a lot of songs that sort of speak from the perspective of a perpetrator, which I find is really interesting. And I think the point of that, or the point of that to me, is kind of realizing like the horror of these situations, and that there are people in the world that want to do harm, which is horrific. And like, to me, like, the point of art in general is sometimes to make you really uncomfortable and to think about things. What is that quote? It's like, art is here to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And I feel like that's what this song does in like a very graphic way. And a lot of Daisy Grenade's music, a lot of the music that we write, is so uniquely feminine and has this very like extremely feminine take on everything. And some of it is not pretty. Some of it is dark and scary and not healthy, and like, and that's just kind of the reality, I think, of being a person, but I think from our take, from being a woman. And so hearing the words of like this perpetrator in the song Polly from a woman's voice, and feeling the anguish and feeling the hurt and feeling all of those things, makes it so much more, I mean, not more interesting, but I think it's a really interesting take on it. And there's a point like at the end of like the second chorus where like everything comes out, and we're taking like, I think it's at the end of the octave chorus where I do the like big please myself that ends up like being like in the clear, kind of no track underneath it. And I think it like, it just feels like one of those moments where like, I call it like the belly scoop feeling, when you feel like your stomach is like scooped out by like an ice cream scooper. And that's just kind of what I wanted people to hear and people to feel. And yeah, it's just, it's dark. It's a really dark thing. And it's something that we wanted to like speak on, and also just like stand in solidarity with the women and people who know that feeling, because I think it's a very specific feeling. And yeah, just to be like, you're not alone. We know it. We know it very well too. So yeah, that's my spiel on Polly.
Well done.
That's a great spiel. Keep that one. Write it down.
That's a great spiel.
Yeah. It's dark. It's not easy to talk about, but it's real. And it happens. So, and it's also like, I do want to say, like, it is dark and it is very sad, but that song, that story is like, it's a story of triumph. Like, it's a story of like,
she survived.
Survival and, yeah, and like wit and courage. So I think it's not all.
Faces me the will of instinct.
Yes.
It's not easy. Like, it, and also the only thing I have to add to that, because that was really well done, is just the, I think the contrast between the orchestration and like the sound of the original to the sound of ours. I think there's a lot, and we did this song with our producer, Tony Pietrafesa, who we love very, very much.
Shout out, Tony.
He's incredible. And I think we together found a great grasp of bringing out the rage and bringing out the anger and bringing out the heaviness and letting that live in the orchestrations. And I think it's a really cool, and I think the first one, the original one, is incredible as well for a different reason. It coming from a man and being this kind of subdued, laid back track is very powerful. And then to flip it on its head and have women singing it from that point of view and have it be this angry, and it's such an emotional moment anytime we do it live. We've only done it a couple of times, but every time we do it live, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling like we're feeling something. I think people seem to have been enjoying it, but not just because it sounds good, but because it's meaning something to a new audience.
Yeah, you're almost yelling at him about what he did in your version. You're almost calling back, even like word for word, but the delivery is almost like a, how fucking could you do all this and ask all this and have this happen. So I just really connected and wanted to talk a little bit about it, because it is such a dark part of our lipstick and bubblegum, because you can be both. We are both. We contain so many multitudes. And to be able to come out with such a strong message that isn't, you know, right on the nose, and that does include like the artistry and like the background of Kurt and everything that he stood for. It just calls to everything we know, right? Being a non-male is hard. You know, I've read that the same issues, you know, that it you know, for example, like sexism, racism that, you know, we all grew up in, like, the theater world, knowing and plagues the music industry. What are ways that, you know, you're both showing up as the people you wish you saw growing up?
That's such a hard question, because I don't, I mean, I know what I try to do, but God, it's a tall task because it is so rampant in this world. But I think the biggest thing I think that Dan and I try to do is just be a sounding board for other women and be champions of other women and other non-men that exist, and also to understand where we come from, especially as white women in the scene. Like, that is a huge amount of privilege. And also, like, I think I said this at one point, but like being backed by a band like Fall Out Boy, who are also white men, but do a lot in the scene to make it clear that they understand where they're coming
from.
But, you know, like, I think it's, like I said, it's a tall fucking task, you know? And I think we all have to work together to try to get to a place where where it's not such a tall task. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, Dan, if you have anything to add.
Yeah, no, it goes back to what we were talking about before. It's just like amplifying other voices, especially for anybody who is not as privileged of a position as the two of us are. There's something so powerful about simply being on stage despite the odds, the amount of times that we have just little kids come up to us after our set and just be like, I've never seen something like that before. Parents coming up to us and being like, you have inspired my kid to perform, you've inspired my little girl that she can be tough and like powerful. And it's just, and it seems so simple, but, and we're not, obviously there's so many people doing that, but it's easy to forget how important just that part is. And then we're very gently reminded at shows where it's like, oh, okay, all of us just really just like defying the odds and just being up here and doing the thing we love is moving and important in its own way.
Yeah. And I think knowing that strength and that power that people see on stage, and anger even, and like rage, like doesn't take away necessarily from your femininity. Like, that doesn't make you less whatever the fuck you want to be. Like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't see that as like reserved for men. Like, that's so fucking stupid. We have way more to be angry about, first of all. And second of all, yeah, like, sorry. But, and second of all, like, it just doesn't, the way you dress, the way that you choose to wear your hair, or the way that you do your makeup, like, just none of that has anything to do with it. And yeah. I think showing that to like young women and girls and non-men, like, it's just so, I think it's just so important. And yeah, I don't know. It's hard.
No, I snuck that question in there because anytime I ask, you know, how are you showing up as someone that you wanted to see? And here are two beautiful examples, Polly and all the stories that you just told me, right?
Yeah.
Like, you are showing up in so many different ways. And I love to ask that because it's always the, I don't know. And then I ask and it's like, here are all the ways that I am touching lives and being able to connect with people in ways that I can't even fathom. But I think that's genuine connection, right? Not the counts of, oh my God, five people came up to me, but the stories that you'll remember, you know, for time to tell. So that one was just for you. But with the Polly cover, with the Polly cover, there's going to be a new take on it, which I'm very excited for, a one take, which is where everybody does it at the same time. Girl, I love me a nice live song, okay? Love. I want to hear the snaps. I want to hear everything. How excited are you? What's new with this? What can we look forward to?
It should be coming out soon. I actually have to make our release schedule today for content.
Love. Good luck, babe.
I have to do that after this.
Hope that Kendrick and, you know, Drake don't beef again. Like, hope there isn't world-ending events on the day of our release.
Same. Literally same.
But it was just we did it for the love of singing, if I may.
The love of singing. Like, no.
I know, it was gross. We were like, let's just rip it. We were at our producer's house. And we were like, let's just do
love.
It.
Love, the makeup was on. The fits were on. Let's do it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how intentional any of it was, but my intention was
they were fitting, yeah.
Now we have it.
We were like, let's just rip it. And we both did it one time. And we were like, that's going to be it because this is a live one take. We're going to do it one time.
Especially for a song like that, like you, it's about the aggression. It's about the anger. It's about the performance at that moment.
And I think there's definitely some rawness. The recorded version is raw.
Yeah.
I think there's some extra rawness having it be not touched by any editing or anything like that, that people can look forward to. And just a look at us in the studio in our friend Tony's apartment where we make the magic happen.
We call it Hogwarts, you know, like,
oh my God.
What I really love about y'all is that you're really multimedia artists, right? So there's music, there's the videos, and now print. Dying Inside recently came out, and there is also a Daisy Grenade edition. I love, I'm obsessed. Shout out to the good people at Vault Comics, who are some of the coolest motherfuckers to ever do it. Because here's some more lore. I own and host Music Bingo. So I own like a music bingo company. And I do emo bingo. So it's like when Fall Out Boy played Riot Fest this past couple weeks, I was there doing like a Fall Out Boy. It's called Fabingo. I do them online as well. You're more than invited. You're more than invited.
I would love to.
But Vault just sent like a bunch of copies to, you know, be able to give out as prizes. And I'm like, damn, like I love getting this in the hands of people because of not only the message, but you know, who Ash and Liv are, and also the character that both, you know, y'all, but like that Daisy Grenade plays within the story about womanhood and about looking out for each other. I mean, talk to me about being a part of that process.
Yes. It's really cool because it's obviously, like, you know, made by a lot of our dear, dear friends. And Hannah is just a fucking genius. Like, she's just a genius.
Yeah,
she's one of my
Hannah
favorite
kills.
Writers in the world. She's our creative director. She works on all of our shoots. Everything that you ever see of Daisy Grenade, Hannah has touched.
Hannah! Let's
and
go!
Whether it's fits or it's photos, like, it's all Hannah, and then Jamie Rice, who does all of the, is our director of photography on everything, and she shot every music video. She shoots all of our live photos. She's out on the road with us. So both of them are just like amazing. But I think Hannah does dark femininity really, really, really exceptionally. She touches on some shit that's really hard to talk about in a way that is so soothing and comforting and like beautiful. So I think it was just like such an honor that she wanted to include us in it. And Hannah's been with us for a really long time, so it's just really cool to see like everybody just kind of, I don't know, doing shit together. And of course, whatever she wanted us to do for it, we were gonna do. And we will be, not to plug, at Comic-Con with Hannah on October 17th in New York.
Yes, New York. Listen up. What weekend is that?
It's the 7th. It's the day before we leave when we were young. Yeah, October 17th.
I'm crying.
So
October. Okay, perfect.
You're listening to this and it's tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow, yeah. If you're listening to this, it's tomorrow at the Javits Center in New York.
Oh, my God, y'all. If you're in Philly, if you're anywhere, I might have to take a quick little mega bus and
come
see y'all.
Come.
I think, you know, the mega bus drops you off right at
it
Javits,
does.
Baby.
It's
right at that
there.
7, baby. Right at those escalators of death, baby, because if you've hit that Hudson Yard stop, you are God's bravest soldier.
Yes.
There's nobody stronger than you. But please, Comic-Con, October 17th with Vault Comics, Hannah, and Daisy Grenade. And I'll make sure to put that information in the show notes as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's so exciting. And again, I love the scene that y'all are in and the portrayal of, again, like different facets of womanhood and different ways of looking out for each other that might not be so obvious, like, you know, having her follow her all the way from there to, hey, did she get home okay, like, you know, where is she now. I think as women and non-males that go to shows, like, I have lifelong friends from people I met in the bathroom or in the pit. So that community and looking out for people, I think, also reflects a lot of your community. I feel like I know so many of your fans, and we all really do look out for each other and get excited for each other. And even when shit's hard, support each other. Totally. So,
at the end of every live set, we, in some one way or another, we always end with a lot of randomness and then be kind to each other.
That's
just,
it.
It's just like, that's all you got to do.
It's free, baby.
That's all you got to do, it's so free.
And then Drew Carey at the end of Price is Right every time goes, be nice to yourself and be nice to others. Shout out Drew Carey. So yes, Drew Carey, very near and dear to my heart. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others. And again, that's what is reflected in your community and the way we all treat each other. Look out for each other. And that's a lot of the heart in general of Decadence. I'm really excited to talk about, you know, y'all being a part of Decadence. You know, it's like this baby of Pete Wentz and Patrick Stump. Have you heard of them? But they are... But they're these two dudes, and they started this label and started supporting artists through it.
I'll
send you a link. Yeah, I'll send you a link. But this is a podcast, in case people forgot, about the intersection of Fall Out Boy and hip hop. Now, call me the reach queen, but like, hip hop and punk have so much more in common than they don't, right? So angst, celebration, lyrics, yes, performance, community, like, how is it a part now in embodying all this and being part of the Decadence family?
No, it does feel like a little family. And knowing we have the support of people like Pete and Patrick, and then also the other artists on it with us, just it feels like a little community, and it feels like a little family, and it feels like a nice, comfy little pocket in all the chaos of the music industry and how insane it can be. To know we've got this little home base that's just support and just support. It's just support. And also cool other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I have some trivia for y'all. Here are some names. And one of these people are a Decadence alumni. And I want to see how hip y'all are, but I'll get y'all.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
Who on this list is an alumni? Okay. Valencia, Tyga, Paul Wall, or Metro Station?
Metro. Is it Metro Station? It's not.
Final answers.
Metro Station.
I'm going to say Metro Station too, but I feel like I might be wrong. Metro Station.
You are incorrect, but I'm so happy. The answer is Tyga.
Wait, that was what I was going to say. Fuck. I was going to be like, I think it's Tyga, but I feel like it's
Tyga. And I will send you links. So Tyga, first of all, has a song called Swagga Like Wentz. Please listen.
You're right.
It's a lot. And then Patrick did a lot of production on his album, No Introduction.
Yes.
So you can hear him on Don't Regret It Now. Like, there's a whole episode. If anybody wants to hear about it, please go back to some episodes.
Damn, I'm a fake and a phony.
No, it's okay. It's okay. That's how we keep each other on it. Okay. Like, I just had to connect this back to hip hop in some way, shape, or form. And then 50 Cent also toured with Fall Out Boy in 2009. And we just talked about it on the last episode. So lots of things that if y'all want to learn about, y'all
can. Yeah, I definitely do.
But that's all on Sugar. We're going in. And I really do think, like, Decadence is, like, in this new era with y'all, right? Y'all, Car, Games We've Played, Vienna. And it sounds like it's time for a Decadence Fest. Or Operation Decadence Dance, which has been etched into my mind. So take that one down.
Okay.
Be like Mr. Wentz. Question, suggestion, another question.
Hell yeah.
Kindly, like, what would it be like, you know, to have all y'all together? Have y'all been able to get together and, like, work in, like, a camp type environment to, like, support each other like that?
No, we actually haven't. Yeah, because we're all over the place. Like, Emin and Carly are in LA, I think. We're in New York, and I don't know where Vienna is. I think he's in LA too, or maybe he's in Nashville. I don't know, but we're all over the place, so it's hard to, like, ever be in the same. But, you know, we chat, and, like, whenever they're in New York, we're wanting to hang and whatever. But
this is like the Avengers. No, I love to hear.
No,
this.
I know, it's great. It's like I fucking love Carly so much, and I feel like it's really nice to have a sounding board, like, especially because, you know, we both, the biggest tours we'd ever done were the same tour. Like, she was right after us, I think, and we, on the Fall Out Boy tour, and we, you know, it can be hard. It can be hard. So it's like, it's nice to be able to, like, yo, how do you fucking deal with this? And oftentimes we're like, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you, but I know that I get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it rocks.
I think getting it is so important. And again, just having that support system, whether it's like digitally or in person. And like I mentioned at the top of the episode, a lot of people's first time experiencing at least live or even hearing you for the first time was at these Fall Out Boy shows. And I feel like that's a very vulnerable moment for a lot of people. And very, like, you know, like you're on stage fucking basically naked, like really trying to hone this in and read the crowd, which is, you know, something that happens just because we're humans. But it feels like, you know, Pete being such a veteran in this and being someone who's been incredibly vocal and vulnerable with his own, you know, progress and journey, he feels like the ultimate boss, right? Like, he's open, he's willing, he's obviously making content. Like, I think about Pete like Chris Jenner meme. Where it's like, you know,
you're doing amazing, sweetie.
Like, you know, like, yes, like literally him put you on tours. And what is it like working with him creatively and in business?
He rocks.
It's a dream. Yeah, it's just a dream. It's such a simple answer. He's so, like you had just mentioned, he is so open, never, ever like pushing us in any direction. He'll give us advice. He'll give us his point of view on things, but then he's like, but at the end of the day, it's your call. It's really collaborative. It's really special to be able to send him things like lyrics and get feedback. And then when he says they're good, it's like, I can die now. I guess that's it, right?
You just like hit him with that like thumbs up.
He's like, oh, thank you. I'm like crying.
There it is. We got it. We got the thumbs up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just feels like we always have someone in our corner, and it's a very important person who's very well respected and for good reason. And he's incredibly kind also and generous. And so it's a dream.
Yeah. It rocks. I really like getting feedback on anything that I write from him, cause I just know he'll give it to me straight, first of all. And also, like, I don't know. I'm just like, yeah, who wouldn't want to get like notes on lyrics? Like,
yeah,
and he just
on, like, be for
fucking
real.
Cracks me up too, because it's like things that I would never think were a weird thing to say, or like a weird thing to say is the wrong thing, because he loves it when we say weird things. But I mean, like, yeah, like something that like he'll flag.
This guy wrote "Tempest in a Teacup," get unique, like be for fucking real.
Let me talk about that. That's one of my favorite Fall Out Boy songs,
baby. Don't because even... you have taste. This
yeah,
is a Fully Out
Do so
Stamp
oh, absolutely.
Podcast.
That coffee. Is my favorite album.
Sorry, I'm so
oh
sorry. What did you? I just missed. I was just handed a coffee.
We were talking about Head First.
Oh yeah, that's our favorite album, do. Obviously.
Oh, period. Women of Taste.
Oh my god, I fucking love that album so much. So it's like, just things that he flags when I send him something or when we send him something are so interesting to me. And like, we'll get into it about like one line that like, he's like, I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, that's so like, I just never would have thought that that's what you would have picked up on or something like that. And we'll go over it, go over it, go over it. I'm like, well, this is why I said this and not this. But if you think the other one is better, then that's great. I'll do that. You know, we went back and forth on that fucking second verse of the song that Danny and I, we haven't released it yet, but the line is, I'm going to drop it now. I'm dropping bars.
Exclusive, exclusive, exclusive.
The line is, he loves a fine line. He's like Jesus Christ with a key shoved up his nose. And we went through that line about 45 times because I was like, Jesus is so like, I feel like everyone says that. I was like, what I'm trying to get at is like, whatever. So I wanted to say he's like JFK, but with a key shoved up his nose. And we were like going back and forth on it for so long. Cause I was like, no, he's like preppy and like buttoned up and like, that's the vibe. And he was like, I don't think it reads. Like, I think it makes it sound like you're trying to say something different. And it was just so funny. Like that was like the one thing we were like going back. We're like, who else could we say? And then just end up being Jesus. So I was like, that's the quickest, like most straight down the line, like route to saying what I'm trying to say.
Keep it simple.
Yeah,
stupid,
keep it simple. You know, I know, really, at the end of the day, I'm trying to overcomplicate everything. So,
no, I mean, it's like you're an artist or something. Patrick at least feels to be like involved and at least like willing and excited to help grant like bands grow in different ways that might not even be directly involved with like being on a song. And now I saw that you have a group chat with Patrick exchanging music, and that sent me into orbit because I have two questions. One, what's your favorite track that he shared? And two, I feel like I have a hunch, but like certified yappers unite. Like, is he a no punctuation texter or waking up to a novel in three parts with paragraphs like formatted?
Novel in three parts, formatted.
Yeah.
Always punctuation, like, always
where
proper
do, grammar. Where
do
I start?
The favorite track he sent it. I gotta look at the playlist.
Need
Hold
to
on.
Go look at her.
It's so it long. Called? It's called Perfect.
Oh, yes. It's all of our perfect songs. Oh, perfect. What have I know there's something on here he added that I liked. His music taste, as you know, and as we all know, is so unbelievably varied.
Like a lot of math jazz. Like
such a beautiful way, but also a lot of hip hop. And a lot of, it's just like, it's a lot of, well, I know you don't need to tell you that.
Every lyric to Mos Def's Miss New Booty, and I will go to the grave waiting
Absolutely.
For that. I will.
I don't know what, I can't pick a favorite, but we have the playlist.
It's okay, you'll send it to
playlist.
Me later. This will be just for us.
Elvis Costello stuff that he added, I really liked. I'm trying to remember what song it was.
That tracks. That's on brand.
It's just so funny. I was just going to say, he just adds everything that he added to the playlist. Just like, I was like, this is so different from the last thing. It's so different from the last thing. And then you think about Fall Out Boy's music and you can hear all of it.
Yeah, that's
you can
the
hear
crazy
all
part.
Of the influences, which is really remarkable. And I think what makes them such a unique band is have such a unique sound that is ever changing. And it is influenced from so many different directions. And that's why it is such a unique product.
But
speaking, you know, speaking of Fall Out Boy and, you know, the different sounds they have, we have to talk about MSG. I was so blessed to have been like literal full baby. I do like 6 to 8 shows per tour. It's really a problem.
Yeah.
Like good.
No. Keep doing it.
You and one other person being like, good for you. Like that's a problem. I call it research. It's a tax.
Yeah. It's research. It's a business.
But Madison Square Garden is such a huge deal for anybody, but let alone to New Yorkers. And I watched the reel most recently that where y'all were filming the first episode of the pod, you know, of the glass slipper.
Woo, yeah, glass slipper. Yeah, yeah.
Keaton, you got a text from Pete asking if you wanted to sing. And the question a lot of folks had was, did you pick the song or was it picked for you? And this was asked by Nico, also of Coffee's a Do. On X.
No, he's not picked a song because if I could have picked the song, I would have picked a $20 nosebleed because I want it every single fucking time.
Keaton and I have a dream of coming out at the top of $20 nosebleed with like
top hats and cans. Can you imagine?
I'm so shook right now. I can't. And I hear y'all going off at the end. Like I
right? That's what I'm saying. And they're always like, you know, it's hard because like, you know, Brandon is on that song, and I'm like, yeah,
baby, we done been done with Brandon. I'm sorry, like I think as a society we've moved the fuck forward. Did you see his new mustache? I wish I hadn't. Y'all, Panic at the Disco fans can get out of my fucking
head. I'm fucking screaming.
Pete Wentz brought them into this world and took them out. He said, "Oh, your girl's pregnant." Bye. Here's everything you've never needed to know. And that's on the record. That's T. Clock it. Honestly, come
that's
fight me.
That's on the record.
That's on the I'm record. Done. I love that. But anyway, I think y'all would do so much better because it is a song about now. It's a song about the fights we fight and the shit that we lose and like how it's generations of this bullshit that keeps us in this bullshit.
I agree, and I fucking love that song so much. It might be my favorite Fall Out Boy song ever, to be honest. It's
hot
close.
Take,
it's definitely
take,
top
yeah,
five, maybe top three. I know it is hot take. I know it's top. It's top like maybe five or three. But anyway, no, they picked the song, and which is also awesome. And I didn't know, you know, we didn't know at the time if it was going to be full band or just Patrick. So we were like, when we found out it was just in his piano moment, I was like shitting my pants.
We also found out that's Patrick.
Yeah.
Like, we found out the soundtrack because Pete and Joe and Andy walked off stage. And it was just us and Patrick on stage. I was 15, like
shitting my pants. Yeah.
I think we all did.
I mean, like, it was like shaking, like during sound check. I was just like, oh my God.
My mom was like just my mom's sorry, go ahead. Excuse me. Oh my God, excuse me, please continue.
I'm a jump it. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry. No, we were just, we hadn't really spent a lot of time with Patrick up until that point because he would be in his dressing room. He takes a lot of time like warming up and all that and keeping to himself. So we hadn't really spent time with him. And I've been just looking up to him since I was like 12. And then all of a sudden I was on the stage at MSG, like sound checking with him. And I was like, I'm going to
shit my pants.
Well, that's why you guys wore dresses, right?
Oh, no, no.
Like, no pants and shit.
Yeah, just in case. You never know. You just leave it on the stage and go.
All right,
no,
Gigi Allen,
my
go
mom,
crazy.
Like, couldn't be there. my mom like couldn't be there. Obviously, my parents live in California, and my mom was like, "You look so comfortable," and I was like, "No, I was like, I had to put my hands on the piano because I was shaking.
I was
like, it was
the
opposite of comfortability.
For
I was like trying to find something solid to put my hands on. I was like, fucking gonna fall over." So I was like, no, it was not comfortability.
Meanwhile,
you misread
it looks
that,
so like sprawling and like, don't make me sing.
Oh my God. I was like, not like I was doing a lounge set. I was like, okay, gotta put my hands on the piano. It was crazy.
But Keaton and I were like looking, mm-hmm. we were like, we have to only look mm-hmm. at each other and Patrick, only look at each other and Patrick, do not look out into the crowd. And I looked out at 1 second because my parents, I was fortunate enough that they were able to make it that day. And I like looked out to kind of maybe see where they were. And I was like, what am I thinking? It's MSG. I'm not going to find them in this crowd. And immediately like averted my gaze. It was like, don't do that again, Danny. Don't look out at the crowd.
That was a special, it was a special moment. Can I also say that, it was Danny's late father's birthday, the day that we played MSG, which was really, really cool.
He was a musician, and it was kind of like,
oh, look at that.
For everyone at home, there were hearts.
Yeah.
There were hearts on the screen. So it was a really special,
really cool moment.
I don't believe in coincidences. So I hope that was
certainly not that.
A beautiful moment that you get to sit on and remember fondly, because it was such a moment. Even seeing just the way Patrick loved to listen to y'all and his takes on then his verses and then how y'all made space for each other was so gorgeous. And that that show was recorded and then people got to rewatch it. And I had like a whole viewing party where we still had like friendship bracelets and we like hung out and like did the whole thing.
Cool.
It was just so incredibly special. So I just wanted to say congratulations. And that coming up, we'll talk about your next tour, but you will be doing 2 nights in New York at Webster Hall. So people should 100% come out.
Yay.
All the East Coast baddies show
December 7th, December 8th.
You and Fall Out Boy will be at When We Were Young. So is there any inkling of any other collaboration? Like there's still time to like put down like $20 nosebleed and like send Pete like $50. Like I think he could really use that.
Yeah, literally.
And it would really help. Yeah.
You know,
we've got a single iron in the fire.
There's still time.
Vape pen
and
in
as
the fire.
You know, literally the Pennifer is doing her work. but I'm like, as you know, the man likes to work on a tight schedule, on a crunch, because he texted us the day before last time. So I'm like,
Fall
you know, you never know what's going to happen.
What?
I think it's about spontaneity. I think it's about...
Could totally not be Patrick
could never
ADHD.
Be.
Never! Never. No, they are so hardworking.
I hope we get to hang out with them. I hope we get to hang out with them. It's going to be so crazy. I'm literally not thinking about that weekend until my ass is there because I couldn't possibly conceive of it in my mind.
Yeah.
Don't even.
We get to sing our little songs and then I get to watch some amazing bands I've been looking up to since I was a child.
I can't even think about it. I cannot think about seeing My Chemical Romance play the Black Parade in full until it's happening to me. I can't.
Crying.
I can't. I'm so excited.
I'm a huge Motion City soundtrack fan, so I'm sad. I'm absolutely
I'm
sad.
I'm so excited.
But that's just one thing out of a ton of amazing things that are coming up. Your tour with State Champs, Knuckle Puck, Meet Me at the Altar, and Y'all is coming up. That's a big one, baby. We're talking top of November to top of December, which in tour days is so many days.
Boy.
I mean, they're back to back. There's no off days. You're either driving or performing or driving and performing.
Together at the same time.
Literally at the same time. We love technology. What are you excited about it? What's new with this tour that you're bringing to the table?
Well, something that's not new but I'm excited for is that the girls are back. That us and Meet Me at the Altar get to be with. The girls are back. So I'm so excited to be on the road.
Our first tour ever
with Meet Me at the Altar, their headliner. And
we love, I mean, Edith, I mean, the entire band, but Edith.
One of my favorite people.
Is queen.
Adore her.
Queen.
Yes.
Like, my life would be different if I had her.
God, she's a fucking icon, literally. Yeah. And I'm just so excited. And we got to hang out with Knuckle Puck this summer. I fucking love those guys.
They're cool.
I'm just really excited. I think it's going to be really fun. And I know that, like, you know, I don't know. We've obviously never been on the road to State Champs before, but what I've heard is that their fans are, like, die hard and that it's a really cool community. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. So I'll post all the dates in the show notes, but please make sure that you're following Daisy Grenade on both Instagram and Twitter to keep up with that. And I want to see y'all, you know, tag them in the photos, the pictures, like the videos and all that. And I want to go back to being really real right before we wrap up, because I am so grateful and thankful to be able to have this conversation with y'all. After seeing y'all perform and just seeing the growth that y'all have had. And I know a lot of people put Pete almost like at this like omnipresent God in terms of your career. It's because it's easy to palate. But I also want to let you know that anybody that is a fan of his knows that he treats his business the same way he treats his art, like with love and vision. And you are both so incredibly talented.
Thank you.
Hardworking. Commanding. So although we talk about him and it's fun, it's the kiki, but like his amazing support obviously is that, but y'all stand on your own two or four legs strong as fucking hell.
Thank
like
you.
Please remember that always.
Clock the hat.
It's easy to clock the hat, not an industry plant, need parts, also great color. We love a Kelly Green. Go Birds. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
First and foremost, go Birds. And I know it's easy to feel like you have to choose your lane, like as non-males in this industry and as like, you know, artists that feel like they have to brand. And sometimes the brand is just that, you know, what Daisy Grenade is, unapologetic in the nature and your work and speaks to something that I fucking love, which is like no settling, like always evolving. And that's how we become amazing.
Yes.
So I just definitely want to leave y'all with that.
That is really,
thank you. Oh my God.
I know. That is really so kind. So kind.
You are so welcome. Like, again, as someone like I'm Scardy, but like I'm Scarlet, and I've worked in music for like, you know, maybe 15 years now. And it's a thing that we think about, but we don't say out loud. But I want to get in the habit of saying these things out loud and giving people their flowers when they're here, because flowers after the fact don't smell so good. You know what I'm saying?
I love that. And I think it's so cool. I literally just did an episode of my podcast where we ended with this. With talking about this is just that, like, to be a fan of something is so amazing, and it's so can be taboo or it can feel like cringe or whatever. And I'm like, no, like being a fan of something is like what makes your life kind of like worth living. Being a fan of art and telling the people that you are a fan of, that you are a fan of them and that you like their art and you like what they make.
It's not corny.
It's not corny.
Like, it doesn't make you any less professional.
No, it's the coolest thing in the world. Yeah. To get to be a fan of something. So I wish that more people were like really more open about that. And I think it's really cool what you do. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. And just to bring it up, I end all my interviews with a nice air horn. So can y'all give me a good bow, 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 bow?
Bow, 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 bow.
Y'all, this has been Scardy B with a Daisy Grenade. Thank y'all for listening to Sugar We're Going In, the only podcast about the history of hip-hop and Fall Out Boy, because I'm the only one a little cuckoo crazy to do it. So thank y'all again so much.
Thank you to so Keegan much.
And Danny, best of luck on the road. See y'all at When We Were Young.
Hell yeah.
And that's all I got. Bye.
Bye.
And we're good.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.